The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. The holiday shopping season is here, so it's time for Bubble Genius's Can't Catch Me Gingerbread Man Soap. It's a big-ass gingerbread man soap that you can enjoy without going right to your thighs. Unless, of course, you're washing your thighs, that is. Scented with a yummalicious gingerbread fragrance, all the decorations are soap, too. And at almost 5 ounces, it should last you a good long time. Only $7 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code BobAndChez, that's B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Hey, George! You all right? Hey, what's the matter?
Now get out of here, Bert, or I'll hit you again. Get out of here!
What the Sam Hill you yelling for, George?
You... George, Bert, do you know me?
Know you? You kidding? I've been looking all over town trying to find you. I saw your car piled into that tree down there, and I thought maybe you... Hey, your mouth's bleeding. Are you sure you're all right?
What you... My mouth's bleeding, Bert! My mouth's bleeding! Zuzu's pedals! Zuzu... There they are! Bert! What do you know about that? Merry Christmas!
Well, Merry Christmas!
Merry! Merry! Yay! Yay! Hello, Bedford Falls! Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, George!
Merry Christmas, movie house! Merry Christmas, Emporium! Merry Christmas, you wonderful old Billy and Lone!
Hey! Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter!
Happy New Year to you! In jail!
Go on home, they're waiting for you.
7 days left for Christmas shopping. 7 days left to fill the stocking. 7 days left for Christmas shopping. Only got 7 days more. Only got...
Hi there! Only 7 more shopping days, that's all. Why not finish it up today?
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hi, this is Dom DeLuise, and I hope you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And I wish for you what I wish for myself, leftover turkey.
Hello, this is Bill Murray. I hope you have a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, a Happy New Year, and a Happy Groundhog Day.
This is Governor Rick Perry. The First Lady and I wish you and your family a blessed holiday season.
Hi, this is Richard Simmons, wishing you a bright and healthy and happy holiday season.
This is the Money Man, that's right, Eddie Money, wishing everybody a very happy holiday. That's a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, and everybody have a safe and wonderful New Year.
By the way, maybe you remember me.
It is Thursday, December 17, 2015, and this is the Bob and Chez Show presented by BubbleGenius.com. I'm Bob Seska, that's Chez Pazienza right there.
Hey there.
And this is the Money Man, Eddie Money.
This is the Money Man. That's right, Eddie Money. Wishing everybody a very happy holiday.
No, you know
that's
my
Merry
favorite
Christmas,
part about that?
A happy Hanukkah.
He says, "This is the Money Man," and then that's right, Eddie Money. As if immediately I was going to go, "Oh, the Money Man."
Oh, the Money
Man. Of course.
Man. Take me home tonight,
Holy
Eddie Money.
That's right.
You can just, you know what? You can hear the cocaine.
This is the Money Man. No, wait, it can't be. That's right. Eddie Money. Oh, God.
You could just hear the cocaine damage to his septum in this Christmas greeting. It's so awesome.
And everybody have a safe and wonderful New Year. This is the Money Man. That's right. Eddie Money wishing everybody a very happy holiday. That's a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, and everybody have a safe and wonderful New Year.
Everybody have a safe and happy New Year.
Hey, nothing says Merry Christmas, nothing says Happy Holidays like the Money Man, Eddie Money. That's right, Eddie Money. All right. We are brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. You only got a couple more days to order your holiday soaps in time for Christmas. I don't even know if they're going to ship in time. But you can give it a shot anyway at BubbleGenius.com.
I just now ordered all my stuff for an hour.
Did you just order Bubble Genius stuff just now?
No. I ordered for Inara. I opened my, my ordered presents for Inara, which See? We'll get here on Saturday.
See, you didn't listen to the guy. You didn't hurry. You better hurry.
I don't know.
Only 7 shopping days left.
That's because I've been swamped. I didn't have time to sit in front of my computer and order everything.
Well, you know who ordered all of his gifts really, really early?
I'll bet you did.
The Money Man. That's Probably. Right.
This is the Money Man. That's right. Eddie Money wishing everybody a very happy holiday. That's a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, and everybody have a safe and wonderful
That's
new year.
That's right. As if you immediately acknowledged who he was.
I love that more than life itself.
Wishing you safe, happy things and happy holidays from the Money Man. That's right, Eddie Money. Remember that song I did, Take Me Home Tonight? That was a great song.
By the way, we're also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you need free legal advice, head over to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez or click the link in the podcast page.
He's the Bowen Man. That's right. Bo Bowen.
It's Charles Bowen here. Hey, I'm the Bowman. I'm the Bowman. That's right. Charles Bowen. Jesus Christ. So goddamn funny. Yeah. Merry Christmas from Eddie Money.
This is the Money Man. That's right. Eddie Money wishing everybody a very happy holiday. That's a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, and everybody have a safe and wonderful New Year.
Everybody. Yeah. Everybody have a safe, happy night and happy New Year.
All right. We got a big show. It's our last. Our last show before the Christmas break, our last free show at least. We're going to do the after party tomorrow. There'll be a post-mortem show today. But as far as the free show goes, this will be our last one before the a two-week break. I was just saying to Chez before the show, I am on fumes. I am just running. I'm so done. I've got one
foot
out the
door. They say that's bad for you to be huffing like that.
Yeah, I am. I'm huffing paint. That's the kind of fumes I'm on. Paint, glue.
Yeah, man.
All right, so I got a lot to talk about today. I guess the biggest story of the day, and it may be my favorite story of the month so far, Martin Shkreli.
It's my favorite story of the year.
Yeah, Martin Shkreli.
It's the best comeuppance. It's so perfect. It's right before Christmas. Nobody deserves it better. And he had just threatened Wu-Tang.
Yes.
He had just gone off about how he's going to get his Albanian posse together, and they got to protect their neck. Shut the f*** up, white boy.
Love the Andy Borowitz. I mean, this is, you know, it's not often that I cite Andy Borowitz's stuff in the New Yorker because it's like,
yeah, he's hit or miss, and I know a lot of people really don't like him.
Yeah,
but yeah, that was his today was worth circulating far and wide.
Shkreli's lawyer increases his fee by 500%. Uh-huh. I don't know. I forget what the percentage was, but it was great. It was like the lawyer's going to charge him due to Shkreli what Shkreli did to everybody else.
Right.
Couldn't happen to a better guy. So the story is that Shkreli was arrested by the FBI for securities fraud.
Yeah. according to Newsweek, if you read through that, I think Newsweek actually said the crimes are so numerous that it's difficult to know where to start. I mean, he's screwed. He is screwed. And the best part about it is, I mean, this is a Christmas present. The perp walk, dude. Yeah. The perp walk was a thing of beauty.
Yes, and it's on video, and he just looks miserable.
Yeah, and that's the best part about it. He couldn't even get it together enough to sort of try to be smug. That smug face that says, oh, you know what, I'll beat this. He couldn't do it.
And of course, as I'm watching that video, I'm just going, I'm just laughing my ass off. Yeah. Just laughing the laugh of all laughs. And it's mainly this laugh.
Yeah, and that's it exactly. And that's, you know what, and that's the thing. It's when you live your life as a troll who does nothing but purposely just revels in being a pariah and antagonizes the world, then nobody's there to be nice to you when you fall really hard. Mm-hmm. Everybody right now, everybody is enjoying pointing and laughing at him.
He's probably the most hated man in America that's not specifically in politics.
Right. Donald Trump is the only person this year who was overall more despicable.
But this guy actually, I mean, Donald Trump in a way really can't do any damage right now.
Right,
I mean, actual damage. It's just his words. But this guy,
I was just going to say, he's actually worse. You're right, because he actually harmed people.
Yeah.
Yeah, he actually did something that that affected people. Then he backpedaled, and then he refused to do. Then he didn't do what he said he was going to do, which is to roll back the prices. Yeah, it's terrible, terrible, terrible man. And so now he's the
worst person of the year. You're right.
Martin Shkreli, the boyish pharmaceutical entrepreneur who caused a public uproar after he drastically raised the price of a life-saving prescription drug, was arrested on Thursday for engaging in what U.S. prosecutors said was a Ponzi-like scheme at his former hedge fund and a pharmaceutical company he previously headed. Shkreli, who has become a lightning rod for growing outrage over soaring prescription drug prices, was arrested before dawn at the Tony Murray Hill Tower Apartments. The Tony Murray Hill Tower Apartments in Midtown Manhattan, clad in a gray hoodie.
As in their Tony.
Okay.
That's an adjective.
That's an adjective. At the Tony. Oh, okay. I don't get that.
Tony Murray Hill. Yeah, Murray Hill is an area of New York.
Okay. So it's not a guy named Tony Murray Hill.
No.
Well, he's the Murray Hill man.
Right.
Tony Murray Hill.
This is the money man. That's right. Eddie Money. Wishing everybody a very happy holiday. That's a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, and everybody have a safe and wonderful New Year.
Thank you, Eddie. So he was arrested at his apartment.
Party, Martin Shkreli.
It's the Shkreli man. I'm the Shkreli man, Martin Shkreli. Wishing you a very safe and happy holiday. He's arrested in Midtown Manhattan, clad in a gray hoodie, 32-year-old. Could be seen being escorted by a slew of law enforcement, including FBI, into a car. Was a dramatic turn of events for Shkreli, who in recent months became a pariah for his controversial remarks in the press and taunts on social media outlets, including to Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders.
And you know what the best part about it is? He's a white-collar guy.
Yeah.
They very easily could have called his attorney and made arrangements for him to turn himself in, and they didn't do it.
Yeah.
They didn't do it. They perp-walked him.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's a common criminal, which he is.
Yeah, well, of course they're going to do that because, you know, he deserves to be humiliated after being a jackass.
But that's it exactly. When you're that much of an if law enforcement can't humiliate you, they'll do it. They're not going to do you any favors.
They know this guy. They know what he's all about.
Yeah.
The funny thing to me, though, is that Shkreli is just one of thousands.
Oh, exactly.
Who are exactly like that.
And that's what I said. I said, you know, I wrote about it today, and I said, this is not going to solve the problem. This isn't even a Band-Aid. But it is Schadenfreude. It is the best possible Schadenfreude imaginable. It is the best Schadenfreude, the most delicious Schadenfreude you will probably taste in your lifetime, certainly this year, probably in a decade.
Yeah.
When it comes to sort of public figure Schadenfreude.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, the entire country is standing and pointing their finger at their computer screens and going, it's just one of those great stories.
Yeah, absolutely.
Karma is a bitch, Mr.
Yeah,
Shkreli.
And that's what this is.
Happy holidays, Mr. Shkreli.
This is the money man. That's right, Eddie Money. Wishing everybody a very happy holiday. That's a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, and everybody have a safe and wonderful New Year.
Happy holiday.
He is partially not just obviously in what he did criminally, allegedly, but his behavior is what's to blame for why that went down the way it did. If he hadn't been such an antagonistic little somebody who just absolutely reveled in thumbing his nose at everybody and being a colossal douchebag, if he hadn't done that, he probably his lawyer would have gotten a call and this could have been done very quietly.
Yeah, but instead it's a Festivus miracle. Yeah. Not only does he get arrested, but he gets kind of humiliated in the process.
Yeah.
The only thing that could have been better in that whole perp walk scenario is if he'd been like half naked with vomit on himself or something, like bleeding from the rectum. I mean, to me, that would have been the real karma. Suddenly, Martin Shkreli bleeding from the rectum and then all of us going, yeah, look, he's bleeding from the rectum. That's awesome. There's the blood coming out of Martin Shkreli's rectum.
That's cold, man.
So that's all good, aren't you? What's that?
You are loopy, aren't you?
I'm kind of loopy, man. I'm so ready for the break. I am just so ready for it. Too much crap to do during a day. And I know, you know what? I'm not in the coal mines. I'm not in the salt mines digging away and getting black lung disease. I'm a guy who gets to work from home, sit at my own desk in my own space, and write about politics. Woe is me, you know. But still, I mean, you get to the point where you're mentally burned. I mean, it's just where you can't.
it's hard for me right now to generate adequate amounts of outrage in which to do my job. And for that, I need to take time off and refuel the outrage tanks, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so that's why the Christmas holidays couldn't come soon enough. Perfect. Perfect time. Are you going? You going to go see Star Wars tonight? You got your tickets for tonight?
Tomorrow morning.
Oh, tomorrow morning. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly when I'm going to see it yet.
I'm seeing it twice this weekend.
Oh, when are you going the second time?
Sunday morning with Inara.
So you are going to get Inara for a certain period of time over the
break. I get Inara. I pick her up on Saturday afternoon after her. She's got like her dance group is having their Christmas party, so I pick her up then, and I'll bring her back the next day. But yeah, I get her for one night so that we can do Christmas.
All right. Well, if you haven't done all of your Christmas shopping yet, here's a recommendation for a gift you can pick up for Inara.
Coming this Christmas to the Fox News Channel store, declare a war on the war on Christmas by shopping early and buying your kids what's sure to be the most popular conservative toy this year. From News Corp and the giggling couch tumors at Fox and Friends, it's the Deucey in the Box. That's right, kids. It's Fox and Friends host Steve Deucey in a box.
Nobody loves the Deucey in the Box.
The Deucey in the Box comes with a series of pre-recorded Deucey-isms, as heard on Fox and Friends.
You don't want free college tuition because college is horrible. When the terrorists killed a general in Afghanistan, it was Obama's fault. There just aren't enough male heroes in children's movies. If you investigate Sarah Palin, Alaskans might shoot you in the face until you're dead.
Awesome!
Sex education teaches you about transsexuals and stuff that's gross.
Yeah!
It's the Deucey in the Box from News Corp and Fox and Friends. Order early by going to the Fox News Channel store and enter the promo code COUCHTUMORS.
Barack Obama wants to kill babies with abortion pills.
Yeah!
Order now.
No child wants to play with a Charlie in the Box.
Almost made it through the holidays and finally remembered to actually roll that one out again.
The Deucey laughter. That's the best part. The sort of sad Deucey laughter. The trailing off Deucey laughter.
All right. Going to take a short break. Back with more show right after this.
Hello, it's Bob to tell you about our brand new Patreon page. You might be asking yourself, what the hell is a Patreon? It's not a Dan Bedani mispronunciation of the word patriot. It's a website where you can help support our podcast by donating money to the show. You can sign up for $1, $5, $10, $15 per month, or if you're filthy rich, you can sign up for more. In exchange, we'll add more shows every week, eventually every weekday. Plus, we'll bring you exclusive Patreon-only content, like post-mortem shows, not unlike Bill Maher's overtime segments, memberships to the After Party, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of our free show. F***ing awesome. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Let's do this thing.
We're hoping that your holiday is an extra special jolly day.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
This song is so bad. It's just shocking to think that this is the guy who, like, you know, wrote Let It Be.
That's right. It's not one of his best efforts, but it's one of those songs that, I don't know. You know what? You know why I choose this song over some other songs? It actually has an intro to it. There's an instrumental intro to it that's long enough to fit our little bumper thing there. A lot of the Christmas songs don't have that bumper in there. It just jumps right into the words. Have no idea why that is, but it is. So I choose the songs that have a little longer intro in there. All right, so moving along here. There was a big debate, big Republican debate in Las Vegas. Tuesday, was it? They all run together now. But you know what? This was the national security foreign policy debate. And I'm completely flummoxed by this one. And I'll tell you why. Because it was brutally embarrassing. I mean, I was embarrassed for America watching this.
Yeah, and there were, it wasn't simply the usual sniping and juvenile behavior. It was people answering questions that prove that they know nothing about anything.
Yeah.
That they are the last people you want to allow anywhere near the White House, anywhere near nuclear codes and our military.
That's right. And these people, and I'm talking about specifically the front runners, were so bad. That's specifically Trump, Fiorina, Carson, Ted Cruz. They were so terrible. So terrible. Not only with terrible, ridiculous, childish ideas in terms of foreign policy, but also the way they comported themselves, that I actually felt relieved when someone like Jeb Bush would speak up, or even in some cases, like John Kasich, of course, and then like even Marco Rubio. I was like, oh, someone who gets it, someone who knows how to behave in a way that's not embarrassing to America.
Yeah, I don't. Rubio scares me, and I wrote about him this week because I feel like he really is sort of the wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, at least I disagree with his belief system entirely. But he is at least mildly serious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
you
totally.
Know, mildly. I mean, but then you get to guys like Jeb Bush and even Rand Paul, man, who, you know, at least again, I disagree with them completely, but at least they're serious people.
Yeah.
And I leave it at that, as opposed to, yeah, the Carly Fiorinas and the Ben Carsons and obviously the Donald Trumps and the Ted Cruzes of this group.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there was that one time where Trump counterattacked Jeb Bush and brought up Jeb Bush's poll numbers, like he always does. Trump always likes to point that out when he's right, in these debates. Look where you're positioned and look where I'm positioned. I'm at 42, you're at 3. The way he was behaving, I was waiting for Jeb Bush to just walk over there and cold cock the guy. Yeah.
I would, dude, I'd love to see that.
Just unleash on him. Just boom, 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 boom. And it never happened. And I was praying for it to happen because it was getting that ridiculous and that heated and that insulting. And then, you know, you had Ted Cruz who was talking over Wolf Blitzer and just doing his Ted Cruz lying through his teeth, his little tiny baby teeth. Yeah. Just
and then you had Carly Fiorina lying again.
Carly Fiorina lying and Carly Fiorina interrupting. By the way, hey, do you know Carly Fiorina worked for a computer company?
Yep.
Did you know that?
And I love the fact that both Carly Fiorina and Ted Cruz in particular may have divulged state secrets. You saw that, right?
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, they're under investigation for possibly divulging national security secrets.
Yep, absolutely.
The coverage of it was almost as infuriating as the debate itself. Because you went to CNN afterwards at the debate, and they had their usual panel of people there. And they went around the horn, and it was all the same post-debate crap. Who won the debate? Who scored the most points?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, did Ted Cruz do what he had to do?
Yeah.
Instead
of saying, these people are all nuts.
Yeah, exactly. This is the time. This is the time before it metastasizes to the discourse.
And you know what? If nothing else, I think that what they should do is, There are examples that they can cite that will show how crazy this is relative to those examples. In other words, it would be as simple as, you know what we're going to do here? We're going to replay for you. The debate involving, like, the debate with between Ronald Reagan and George Bush.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to bring back one of those debates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to bring back the debate between Bob Dole and Bill Clinton. You know, we're going to bring back and just listen to these people talk. Just listen to what they have to say. And, you know, or even the debates between Clinton and Bush. And listen to how they interact and the way that they speak to each other.
Yeah.
And try really hard to imagine for a moment that this is compare that to what you're talking about now. Mm-hmm. Compare that to the way it looks now.
Yeah.
To the kind of language these people use and the way that they go at it. Because that's the thing that gets me is it crushes me to think that, like, I understand this need to constantly support party and to have party unity. But you cannot look at what the Republican Party is now and say, well, you know what? Sure, you've got this thing, the way they are now is the exact same thing as the way they were years ago.
Yeah.
You know, this is the same kind of party. It's just not. It's absolutely not.
It's not. And it's the lack of dignity and self-respect and respect for the process.
Right.
And it's all because of Trump. And unless we want more and more Trumps in future years, at this point, it's really the duty of the mainstream press, and I'm talking about specifically cable news, the big newspapers, to come out and say, this is not the way it's supposed to be.
Exactly. And they don't. They won't.
And the fact that we've been treating these debates as if, and specifically the Republican debates, the fact that we've been treating them like we would any other debate.
Right.
With the same old post-debate analysis.
I mean,
what did Trump say? Who won the debate? Who earned a debate bump in the polls? Who has the momentum?
Yeah, some of these journalists are people who lived through those older debates and were working, had careers during those older debates. And I don't understand how they can't take a second and just go, "This is not what politics has been in this country for years. This is a clown show. This is crazy."
Yeah. It really is. And that's exactly what they need to say. Instead of just going up and say, hey, you know what? Ted Cruz is really strong in an answer about immigration. And analyzing these things as if it's nothing unusual is happening.
Right.
And everything unusual is happening.
Yeah.
The fact is that none of these foreign policy. I mean, for God's sake, we had Ben Carson talking about how he wouldn't mind killing family members of suspected terrorists. Chris Christie talking about, again, precipitating World War III happily. You know, if Russia violates the no-fly zone.
Chris Christie saying that he was going to sit down with King Hussein of Jordan.
Yeah, that's right. Even though King Hussein, has been dead for 15 years or something like that?
Something like that, yeah. I'm going to sit there with my Ouija board and I'm going to conjure him up.
Right.
And then we're going to have a long talk.
Ted Cruz wants to engage in precision strikes against ISIS. And then also he wants to indiscriminately carpet bomb ISIS.
Right, exactly.
So it's what is that?
He doesn't know what carpet bomb means.
No, he doesn't know.
Donald Trump had no idea what question he was being asked. He's like a child who is called up, you know, a kid who's called up in front of the board and asked to give a book report on a book he didn't read. Yeah. And he's just fumbling his way through it.
Yeah.
He's just bull his way through.
Oh my God, yes.
And he couldn't answer that question. It was Hugh Hewitt. Hugh Hewitt asked him, you know, what are you going to do about sort of the deteriorating quality of America's nuclear triad, the fact that a lot of our weapons are getting old, there are infrastructure issues, and he just faked his way through it and didn't come anywhere near even acknowledging the question.
Yeah.
Even the answer wasn't anywhere near the same page as the question.
No way. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what the press has to do. I mean, it's one thing for PolitiFact to go in there and say, well, here's where they were lying. Here's mostly false. Here's pants on fire, all that crap. But it's the people, really the closest thing we have to gatekeepers now on cable news who are presenting these debates, who really need to come on afterwards and tell people. I mean, I hate to put it this way, but they need to tell people what to think about this. Otherwise, if they say, you know, Trump was strong on that answer, but the answer was just utter horseshit.
Yeah.
That's still utter horseshit. I wrote in Salon, I said, incoherent and unserious remarks delivered with confidence and aplomb are still incoherent and unserious remarks.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, and I understand. I understand the way cable news operates. I understand the different standards that are presented in analyzing a debate performance. You know, part of the debate is seeing how a candidate can handle the stress of being in front of millions of people.
Right.
But that's just a small part. It has to be balanced with, did that person say something that, you know, maybe with lots of confidence, maybe looked right into the camera, said it smoothly, used lots of $25 words, and was articulate about it. But if the idea he was conveying or she was conveying was nonsense, then you have to say this is nonsense.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's it exactly.
And that's not being done. Or if it's done, then it's done by like a partisan like Van Jones on CNN, for example.
Right, but see, that's the thing. That's they have decided that they are going to be objective at all costs. At all costs.
Yeah.
All they're going to do is tell you what the other side is saying, one side is saying about the other. They leave any kind what they consider to be looking at something subjectively or being partisan, what any normal person should perceive as actually presenting the facts, not objectivity, not forced objectivity,
yeah,
but the facts. They leave that to people they consider commentators.
I mean, what they really need in these post-debate forums and roundtables is what they need are actual, like, nonpartisan. I think, you know what? It doesn't even matter because they get a nonpartisan guy up there and all the Republicans are going to say, well, that guy's partisan.
Yeah.
Because they're speaking the truth. It goes back to the old Stephen Colbert thing. The truth has a well-known liberal bias.
Right.
And so no matter who they get up there to say something. But what I mean, maybe like even someone like Wolf Blitzer to do a Walter Cronkite moment and say, this is bad. What they are doing is humiliating the process. They're humiliating America. This is, you go John Stewart, this is bad for America. It's hurting America.
Yeah.
And they're not doing it. And I'm not just saying this as a partisan. Because, quite frankly, in the process of analyzing, especially this most recent debate, I was saying, you know what, John Kasich, I disagree with most of what he says, but at least he's acting presidential. Jeb Bush, he's kind of, you know, he's just kind of marble-mouthed, and he doesn't seem like he's really into the process, but at least, you know what, I can see him as president.
Yeah, he's serious.
Exactly.
He's serious. Lindsey he's someone Graham. Who at the you know who he is someone who like the people who were in parties that I was not a member of old, meaning, you know, for the most part Republicans, but certainly there was a time when I was a little bit more conservative than I am now. Mm-hmm. But it's like the partisan politics of old, where even if I didn't agree with that person, I could say, all right, you know, like George W. Bush. You know, I didn't particularly like his politics, but he seemed like a little did I know, but he seemed like a sober individual, a serious individual, somebody who I could at least say, okay, you know what, he's not going to run the country off a cliff, which of course he kind of did.
Yeah.
But God, no, George W. Bush, I'll take George W. Bush over this nonsense any day.
Oh my God, and that's what's so insane again. George W. Bush is looking great compared to these guys. Compared to Ted Cruz? Are you kidding me? Ted Cruz is the slimiest politician come along. You know, now I kind of understand how Republicans felt about, quite frankly, Bill Clinton. You know, right. Bill Clinton, competent politician, though.
Amazingly competent.
But Ted Cruz has all of that slick willy stuff without any f***ing content whatsoever.
But he doesn't. You know what, though? He had Clinton had genuine appeal.
Yeah.
You know, he was smooth in a good way. He was able to talk to people. He was able to be genuinely compassionate.
Yeah.
And this Cruz is just faking it. Cruz is like, you know, there's an old I honestly can't go through the whole thing right now, but Google Matt Taibbi wrote about the difference between I think it was the difference between Bill Clinton and Tom DeLay.
Oh yeah,
and it's the same kind of thing. If you Google that and you read, you know, Google Matt Taibbi, Bill Clinton, Tom DeLay, and you know, you'll see what he had to say about Tom DeLay, and that's a really good comparison because he talks about how Tom DeLay went after Clinton so hardcore, and the truth is they should have been friends because they actually have quite a bit in common. But what Clinton could actually pull off, Tom DeLay could only dream of because he was so absolutely legitimately smarmy. And that's what Cruz is.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Totally. You know what? We're going to get into Ted Cruz a little more. Ted Cruz was nailed on Fox News with Bret Baier and just called out on his lying on immigration. We're going to talk about that after a short break back right after this. Today's Bob and Chez Show is brought to you by the Bob and Chez Show store at cafepress.com/Bob and Chez. Stocked up and ready for holiday shipping. If you have a fan of the podcast on your shopping list, check out our variety of Bob and Chez Show logo items. Our store has something for everyone, from t-shirts to hoodies for both men and women, as well as shot glasses, beer mugs, messenger bags, and even Bob and Chez Show watches. And don't forget our exclusive
Yatton-Who t-shirts. That's cafepress.com/Bob and Chez for your holiday shopping. Thank you for supporting the big show, and happy holidays.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go.
Yeehaw.
Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
So to get this in one more time, Martin Shkreli. Okay, so if you want to do any last-minute shopping, go to Amazon.com through our Amazon link. Instead of typing in Amazon.com, go to BobSeska.com right now, okay? And just under the logo, you'll see something that says Amazon link. Click that link. Takes you right to the front page of Amazon.com. You see no difference whatsoever in your Amazon.com shopping experience. But you go there, and everything you buy for your last-minute holiday shopping, we get a small commission from all of that, and it costs you nothing extra. Same low prices, same free shipping if you've got Amazon Prime and all that happy crappy. Go there and do all of your last-minute shopping and help support the show. Thank you for doing that, and happy holidays.
This is the Money Man. That's right, Eddie Money. Wishing everybody a very happy holiday. That's a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, and everybody have a safe and wonderful New Year.
Never thought in a million years I'd get so much mileage out of an Eddie Money drop in.
Yep.
Jesus. All right. Moving along here, Ted Cruz was totally owned by Bret Baier. And it was kind of amazing to watch this. It was kind of amazing. And take a lesson from this, CNN. Fox News Channel actually called out Ted Cruz on a lie. I mean, just on a flagrant lie from the debate. Here's Ted Cruz on with Bret Baier on Fox News Channel.
One of the big back and forth moments between you and Senator Marco Rubio was on immigration. Many people said you scored some points against yeah. Marco Rubio there. You also said, though, and it has been checked today at the debate, that you denied that you've ever supported legal status for undocumented immigrants. You said, quote, "I've never supported legalization. I do not intend to support it." But back in 2013, you did support an amendment. And back when you were making the case, this is what you said.
"I don't want immigration reform to fail. I want immigration reform to pass. And so I would urge people of good faith on both sides of the aisle, if the objective is to pass common sense immigration reform that secures the borders, that improves legal immigration, and that allows those who are here illegally to come in out of the shadows, then we should look for areas of bipartisan agreement and compromise to come together."
Now, that amendment would have allowed...
Okay, you're following this now. In the debate, he said he doesn't support immigration reform with regard to amnesty and a path to citizenship. But right there, he basically just said, "I support the path to citizenship." Mm. He introduced an amendment to the, what was it, the Gang of Eight thing? And it was all about a path to citizenship. Idiot.
"Documented immigrants to remain in the U.S. permanently and obtain legal status. So how do you square that circle?"
Actually, Brett, it wouldn't have. What was happening there is that was the battle over the Gang of Eight, the Rubio-Schumer amnesty bill, which was a massive amnesty bill proposed by Senator Rubio, by Chuck Schumer, and Barack Obama.
I mean, what constitutes a massive amnesty bill?
Whatever.
Is it because it's a lot of pages? Or I don't understand what I can understand a massive spending bill, but a massive amnesty bill. But
words, you know,
then
words,
again, words. Then again, yeah, I nitpick.
And I was leading the fight against amnesty. I was standing shoulder to shoulder with Jeff Sessions. I was standing shoulder to shoulder with Steve King, leading the fight to secure the borders. And what I did, that particular amendment, was an amendment I introduced to remove citizenship, to say those who are here illegally shall be permanently ineligible for citizenship. Now, the fact that I introduced an amendment to remove part of the Gang of Eight bill doesn't mean I support the rest of the Gang of Eight bill. The Gang of Eight bill was a mess. It was a terrible bill.
Well, wait a second,
and what
Senator.
The Rubio campaign
I mean, that's
is
not
trying
what you
to claim
said at the
is,
time.
Well, gosh.
That is not what you said at the time. And Yahoo dug up these quotes from back then. You said, "If this amendment were to pass, the chances of this bill passing into law would increase dramatically." A few weeks later, during a debate on the Senate floor, Cruz repeated his belief that this amendment is the compromise that can pass. And you repeated later in Princeton that if my amendment were adopted, this bill would pass. It sounded like he wanted the bill to pass.
Well, yes, of course it did, because he wanted the bill to pass.
This is so, what's so beautiful about this is just, you can just, you can tell. Wait, I'm on Fox. How is this happening?
No.
He's so pissed right now.
Where am I? Who is this? Who
he's
am I
so
talking
pissed
to?
That he's you know, on with friends and they're ripping him to shreds.
Once again. All right.
Of course I wanted to build a...
Senate floor. Cruz repeated his belief that this amendment is the compromise that can pass. And you repeated later in Princeton that if my amendment were adopted, this bill would pass. It sounded like you wanted the bill to pass.
Of course I wanted the bill to pass, my amendment to pass. What my amendment did is take citizenship off the table, but it doesn't mean that I supported the other aspects.
What it means is I just don't I.
And Brett, you've been around Washington long enough. You know how to defeat bad legislation, which is what that amendment did. Is it revealed the hypocrisy of Chuck Schumer and the Senate Democrats and the establishment Republicans who are supporting them because they all voted against it?
So here's it's the poison pill argument. Right. He introduced a bill that would ruin the bill. But the way he was talking in that clip earlier, just seconds ago on Fox News Channel, he was saying he wants the bill to pass. He wants it to pass. This is only a good thing for the bill. But see, I mean, to me, that just underscores his duplicitous nature. The fact that he's like, he's the smarmiest, slimiest member of Congress. He really, really is.
And listen,
I mean, it's just, it's almost obscene how slippery he is, because you can see it. You can just see right through it.
I'll give you the simplest proof why this notion that my fighting amnesty somehow made me a supporter of amnesty. Jeff Sessions voted with me on my amendment to eliminate citizenship. Now, is anyone remotely suggesting that Jeff Sessions supports amnesty? Of course not. We were fighting side by side to defeat Marco Rubio's amnesty, and we succeeded. We defeated it.
The problem, though, is that at the time, you were telling people like Byron York with the Washington Examiner that this was not a poison pill. You told him my objective was not to kill immigration reform. You said you wanted
This is, you know what? This is turning everything upside down.
Yeah.
Fox News Channel is doing this.
The argument that I've heard a lot of people make is that Ailes is trying very, very hard to clear a path for Rubio. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because Rubio is his guy. You know, Trump, it's like Fox is in an odd position because it knows it's created Trump. It knows that its audience loves Trump, so they can't be seen as pissing off Trump. But in reality, if Ailes had his way, Rubio would be the guy.
Yeah.
Because he's Tea Party, but he's also establishment.
Well, and they also have to know. I mean, Fox News Channel, they're liars and they're propagandists, but they also know how to get elected. And they also know that it's a bad idea for the country and for the Republican Party to put up someone like Donald Trump or Ted Cruz, a goddamn flim-flam artist.
Right.
Yeah. Both of them. Both of them. Here's the rest of this. I think Ted Cruz stammers a little more here.
To pass at the time. So my question to you is, looking back at what you said then and what you're saying now, which one should people believe?
What the amendments I introduced, and I introduced five amendments, a whole series of amendments, what they did is they illustrated the hypocrisy of the Democrats. They showed that it was a partisan effort, and they succeeded in defeating the Rubio Schumer amnesty bill.
All right, that's it. And right. It's obviously, just desperately trying to wiggle his way out of that one. Just so funny to watch. We're going to take one last break, back with the rest of the show right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
The nicest things are happening because it's Christmas.
This is the Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Oh, yeah. Happy holidays to everybody.
Merry Christmas, babe. You sure did treat me nice.
Okay, just a quick word about Patreon.com. Go to Patreon.com/Bob and Chez right now. Help support the show.
Merry Christmas, babe.
Toward the end of the year, you know what? I don't know if there's a tax write-off involved with supporting the show. I don't think there is. But why not give it a shot anyway?
Right.
Go to patreon.com/Bob and Chez and help support this year's show by pledging either $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, or $15 a month. Each one of those tiers gets you free exclusive stuff for Patreon subscribers only. Plus, at every level, that includes the $1 a month, our favorite $1 a month people. You're going to be getting two very special holiday episodes of the show coming up next week and then the week right before New Year's, which is you're going to get the two-part A Very Bedondi Christmas. We're going to do another two-part Best of Bedondi thing, probably about, I don't know, 20 minutes, half an hour, probably a little longer. Knowing us, it's going to be a little longer, each one. And so you have lots of Bedondi goodness to talk about with your family and friends over too many alcoholic beverages.
Awesome.
At Christmas time. So enjoy that. And that's just, I'm sorry, just for our Patreon people. Moving along here, Vladimir Putin endorsed Donald Trump.
Awesome.
Because, of course, they're the same guy, basically.
Yep.
Except Donald Trump doesn't have the kind of experience that Vladimir Putin does. But, boy, you know, and I wonder, too, if that's the case or if it's that Putin knows that Donald Trump is a rank amateur and that he can probably walk all over Trump.
Yeah.
Or I wonder
probably.
If it's... Yeah, I mean, I seriously doubt it's because he actually likes Trump.
No, no, of course not.
I don't think Vladimir Putin likes any American leader.
No, that's the idea. Putin doesn't like America, ergo he supports Trump.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, I think Putin wants someone in there that he can kind of bully around.
Well, not just that. He wants somebody to run this country into the ground.
Yeah, there you
go.
Somebody
to destroy it. Are you kidding?
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right. Russian president...
Yeah, because if Trump is president, all Putin has to do is sit back, put his hands behind his head.
Here's
lean
what...
back on it, lean back and put his feet up on his desk.
That's right. Here's what Putin said about Donald Trump. He is a bright personality, a talented person. No doubt about it, Putin
yep.
said, according to NBC. It's not up to us to appraise his positive sides, but it is up to the U.S. voters. But, as we can see, he is an absolute leader in the presidential race.
So perfect.
That last part was just, he was just observing things.
It's so perfect.
It's like saying, oh, Donald Trump has two arms and two legs. Donald Trump eats food for sustenance. Right. Donald Trump is he's a leader in the presidential race. Oh, really? Thanks for that, Pooty Poot. Booty poot.
Yep.
Referring to Trump, Putin said he is saying that he wants to move to a different level of relations with Russia, to a closer, deeper one. How can we not welcome that? Of awesome. Course we welcome that.
So awesome. Please, by all means, by all means, elect him.
That's
elect
like,
this clown.
Right. That's the scorpion saying to the toad, hey, can you swim me across the river? I promise you I won't sting you. good for Pooty Poot. All right. Moving along. This is my favorite story of the day, next to the Shkreli story. This kind of appeals to my lowbrow sense of humor. I don't know if you remember the name David Brat. David Brat was the Tea Party Calvinist libertarian Ayn Rand disciple who unseated Eric Cantor back in 2014 in the primary.
Yeah.
Primary challenged Eric Cantor in Virginia, won the primary, and then went on to win the general. Now he's a member of Congress. He's a hardcore, extreme right-wing, John Calvin-admiring Christian Reconstructionist.
Perfect.
He endorses theocratic government. Hooray. And we totally need more of those people in the Republican Party. Bratt was an economics professor at Randolph-Macon College in Ashland, Virginia. He once co-published a paper titled An Analysis of the Moral Foundation in Ayn Rand. Yep, another Tea Party libertarian. Awesome. And he's enrolled in Obamacare, by the way.
Did he say moral foundation in Ayn Rand?
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck with that. That's funny.
He collects a government paycheck drawn from redistributed tax revenue, of course, even though he's an Ayn Rand guy. By the way, Brad said Obamacare makes America look more like North Korea. And as such, he's voted several times to defund it, even though his health insurance coverage is through Obamacare. So that's David Brad. He was on C-SPAN earlier today and was asked by a caller named Glenn. Maybe Glenn Greenwald, but this Glenn said he was from Utah. And here's how that exchange went on C-SPAN today.
Independence 202-748-8002. We'll start in our line for Democrats. Glenn called in from Salt Lake City, Utah. Glenn, good morning.
Hi, good morning. My question is, since we're spending all this money, where are we getting the money from? And my second question is, if I can... in your mouth.
Apologize for that, Congressman. Don't take that kind of language here on the Washington Journal. We'll move on.
Yes, indeed. Can I in your mouth?
So perfect.
Yeah, it's the Brat Man, David Brat. Wishing you a very happy holidays from the Brat Man. I've got poop in my mouth.
This is the Money Man. That's right, Eddie Money. Wishing everybody a very happy holiday. That's a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, and everybody have a safe and wonderful New Year.
Lovely.
All right. So moving along before we wrap up the show. This was great. This was a great little video that I posted at Addicting Info and subsequently attracted every goddamn truther on the internet, minus Dan Bedondi. Didn't hear from Dan Bedondi yet.
Oh, yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
But there was this blacksmith who did a YouTube video. He's like he does like various blacksmithing, smithy type YouTube videos, and he did one that addressed directly. I think it was only his only political one, really. But he addressed directly 9/11 truthers who said that it's impossible for the jet fuel to have weakened the steel structure of the World Trade Center towers in order for them to collapse. Which is all, as far as I'm concerned, is all basic physics.
Oh, of course.
You have a massive fireball of exploding jet fuel.
Yep.
Right? Plus, the additional jet fuel that didn't burn away in the explosion, weakening the steel structure
That's
of the World
the
Trade
thing.
Center. Tower.
It doesn't have to bend it. It just has to weaken it.
That's exactly right. And, of course, people like Jesse Ventura and Dan Bedondi and Alex Jones all think it's the thermite paint.
Yeah.
That did it. The government spread thermite paint all over the beams to eat away the beams and then exploded each of the levels of the World Trade Center towers in order for them to collapse. Yeah. Even though the collapsing, the little bursts of debris and dust that you see as the different levels collapse, that's just like clapping two chalkboard erasers next to each other and there's a puff of chalk that comes out. Yeah. That's what happened. They're not explosions. But insofar as the jet fuel burned the beams and weakened them, this guy took a piece of steel, A36 structural steel rebar, mm-hmm. put it in his forge, took it out, stuck it in the anvil, and then was able to bend the steel with his pinky finger. I mean, I don't see how this is possibly something that could point to a conspiracy. But, of course, everyone's saying... The comments are just ridiculous on this thing.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, you can imagine every insane 9/11 truther turning up in the comments with all of their different other excuses.
Right.
Like, oh, well, he could have switched the beams or he could have switched the rods and had that rod.
Yep. That's the thing. You can't. That's why you can't win.
Yeah.
You can't win. Did you hear, by the way, I wrote earlier this week about Sandy Hook.
Right.
About, you know, how there are still people out there harassing the family members of, you know, the Sandy Hook victims. And One guy who's been doing it is, I can't remember his name. His last name is Tracy. I think it's James Tracy. I could be wrong about that. He works as a professor at Florida Atlantic University, and he has been harassing the crap out of one particular family. And FAU has now put into motion, they're basically making moves to fire him, which honestly I'm thrilled about. Good.
Right. This guy's name, his name is James Tracy.
James Tracy. Yep.
And he's one of these guys, like that guy that you blew the whistle on, that freak dog who said that the, you know, Sandy Hook was a hoax and the kids
never
existed.
And whatever you do, it's never enough. You can shoot down. I remember I was going around with somebody on Twitter about it one time, and every single thing that he came up with, I batted it down. And then finally I stopped and I said, you know what? This ends here. Because nothing I say will ever convince you. You'll always come back with something else. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, well, how do you account for this? And I came back with the answer to that. And he just – and I said, see, that's what I mean. This is never ending. It will never end. So fuck you.
That's right. All right. So we have the postmortem show coming up right after this. But to all of our free listeners, have a great and happy holiday season. Be safe. We want you to come back and listen to the show in 2016. We'll be back with a brand new show on January 7. That is 2 weeks from today. Actually, no, I take that back. January. We've been doing two shows a week for most of this year, and I still forget that we do two shows a week. We'll be back on January 5th, Tuesday, January 5th, not the 7th. That's less than 2 weeks away. All right, so we'll be off next week. That's the week of the 21st. We'll be off the week of the 28th with Best of Badondi segments coming up in both of those weeks for our Patreon people. And then we'll be back with a free show for everybody on Tuesday, January 5th, 2016. It's going to be a hell of a 2016. I just know it. So be safe. Drive safely. Don't do anything crazy. And we'll see you then. Happy holidays, folks. Thank you for listening to the show this year. Take care.
This is the Money Man. That's right, Eddie Money, wishing everybody a very happy holiday. That's a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, and everybody have a safe and wonderful New Year.